You are now listening to The Project.
To The Project.
To The Project. Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, live, and live. With your hosts, Mank, Dr. D, and Mehdi.
Wait, so you mean to tell me there's arsenic in my protein powder? It's small amounts, but we all know arsenic can build up over time, definitely cause gut health issues, and it could cause a lot of issues down the road. And it's just, I agree with you 100% that, you know, knowing the source is, you know, pretty much the whole battle, in my opinion.
Marketing is so interesting in general. Like, I remember for years in my 20s, I was buying things that said natural on it, all natural, right? And then I read somewhere that, you know, natural doesn't mean organic. And this was sort of at the beginning of people going like, yeah, organic is really different from food that's not organic. And they just sort of tricked us by saying natural. Like, that word meant nothing.
All this and more in today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Project. And today we are going to be talking about supplements with someone who started their own supplement company based off of, you had some autoimmune issues, correct, Shauna, if I'm not mistaken?
That's correct.
Yep. So
many. A plethora.
And I'm sure
take your pick. I could talk about a number of them. It's like shuffling cards in a deck.
Awesome. I'm sure you're going to jump right into that. Shauna Rita, founder of Alaya Naturals. I hope I didn't butcher the name. I do that often for some reason the last 3 months. This whole COVID thing, it's got me all messed up. So
it's a mind gerbil. We have to be very selective about where we put our energy. And the specificity of names, I think, is not a priority. A rose by any other name.
I appreciate that. That's got to be on a t-shirt right there.
Yeah, no, I've learned firsthand how important it is to prioritize. I mean, I've been even noticing recently that I'm speaking to fewer friends, and the quality of my conversations with the friends I'm connecting with is so much richer and more textured. And I just think that having to really selectively use our time has been a game changer for myself. I don't know about you, but there just isn't enough brain capacity for everything and everyone. You know, the multitasking has to really be so selective.
No, 100%. I'm curious, just that after you said that, because I've been trying to, instead of texting people or going on over here to WhatsApping them and messaging them, I've been trying to call people more, just because I feel like I haven't, you know, like, it's easy to send a message now and you don't connect with people on that level where you call them. Do you do that now too? Right. I'm just curious if this is like a weird trend that's going on between people, just because for me, it was like, I want to actually engage with someone from now on.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I feel like it's really important to hear people's voices. I mean, I was a former singer and songwriter. So actually, to me, the voice is everything. Having a voice, hearing people's voices. You know, the major issue I have with texting is that it's impossible to really interpret a person's tone. So, you know, you read a sentence and a person might be basically communicating that they're in an absolutely desperate moment and are, you know, it's a 911 text and you think that they're like making stir fry and watching Netflix, you know, because so much is missed over text. And also just, of course, like the intensity and depth of conversation is diminished when the frequency is so great. It's like anything, right? Like, you know, if you have 3 bottles of wine in a night, you're not going to savor it the way you would a glass. Or, you know, I've become increasingly aware of my tendency to turn to sugar during times of stress. But I'm really conscious that when a piece of coffee cake becomes a treat and not my everyday snack, you know, there's a different level of appreciation and gratitude for that consumption. So I feel like when we're consuming voices and relationships and really absorbing meaningful connection, it's really important to savor it. And that just doesn't happen as much, I think, when we're sort of sloppy and lazy with the texting. I think there's a convenience there that is very tempting and that I for sure utilize. I mean, I'm not going to wait to call people every time I have a thought that I want to share. But I think it's an interesting sort of overall question that we should all be asking ourselves is, like, where do we find meaning in connection? Like, what is actually satiating and nourishing our souls versus just kind of practical communication? And also, you know, if you happen to have kids, like, what's the model that you are choosing to demonstrate? And I've become increasingly aware of how unconscious I've been with my utilization of the phone. And I've got a four-year-old, a barely four-year-old, and a barely six-year-old, and they are watching me. I mean, my daughter watches the way I part my hair. My son watches the way I talk to my husband. They're just on it, absorbing like sponges. So if every other minute I'm looking down and not up, I feel like the message that I'm giving them is, don't be here in this world, in this moment with me. Always be somewhere else, distracting yourself from how you're feeling or what you really want to be doing that's going to serve a longer term goal. So it's not to say I won't text in front of my kids, but I did get on a kick for a period of time during lockdown where I realized that it felt a little bit like survival to be in constant connection with people, but it began to negate my real life, you know, real moment to moment relationships with my kids and husband who are right in front of me, you know. News is a thing too, because people are constantly scanning articles, but how much of that content is really valuable or a source that's well trusted?
It makes so much sense, especially going into our talk about supplements and, you know, satiating your body with the right foods and the right supplements, especially nowadays with, you know, I mean, come on, everything is kind of engineered in a lab to taste, right, to smell, sort of training us to overconsume in abundance. I mean, let's be realistic. You know, you don't eat a bag of Doritos. You know, if you ate a chip itself or a potato, you can only have so many potatoes. But if you eat a Dorito, you're going to eat a whole bag at times. I mean, at least that's me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
because they literally done studies on, I mean, they've got people in a lab saying, oh, it's too crunchy. It's not crunchy enough. You know, it needs more of this zest. It's got not enough of those spices. I mean, it's so particularly and intentionally engineered. And so is technology. And it has the same goal to hook you and to keep you addicted so that you are not consuming what will actually nourish yourself.
100%. And that's funny because someone told me, oh, have you fallen into the trap or of the new trap or the algorithm of Instagram where if you post, that's when they like, I don't know, that's when your likes pour in or when your follows pour in or something crazy like that. And I was looking at my buddy. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I have no idea. I just post because, you know, I have friends in the States that, you know, I just keep them updated. And I usually post my workouts or whatever. But, you know, it's like, I didn't know algorithms and all this crazy stuff existed. I did know.
You're not supposed to know. That's the point.
Right? Like, I didn't even know they were watching me. They literally disabled my account without any warning. Yeah. They disabled my account like 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I was like, why? And they said, you know, you violated community guidelines. And I was just like,
well, I want to hear that story. That sounds a lot juicier than the supplement talk. I'm not going to put you on the spot.
Oh, no, it's all
violation, good. It does sound fascinating.
First question is, if you're a vegan, I apologize. All right. Because I tend to make fun of vegans, joking around. I have a lot of friends that are vegans. I have no issues with veganism at all. You know, it was a running joke between me and my friends of, you know, grilling food, or grilling meat, and then putting hashtag vegan. So a vegan took offense to this. They DM'd me and started an argument, saying, oh, you know, we weren't meant to eat meat. And I said, yeah, 1,000 years ago, we were, you know, foraging for nuts and berries in the middle of the desert. I was like, dude, you're going to eat whatever you ate 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. That's just logic, you know, food and shelter. That's what you were looking for. And, you know, words went back and forth. And I said, you know, all right, well, who's going to stop me? You and what army? So I guess him and his vegan army put in a bunch of complaints. Next morning, my account's gone. And
well, that's interesting because that feels like inappropriate to me, because that's just freedom of speech. You didn't say anything that to me would warrant like dismantling the system. But I have to say, you know, there's power in numbers, and every tribe has its motivations. I'm not a vegan. I don't eat meat, though. I am a pescatarian who doesn't eat dairy. So I have a particular brand of ridiculous, and I swear by it, by the way. I've never felt healthier or stronger. But I also feel like, you know, maybe at the beginning of time, we were primarily plant-based. And if we came by meat, and that was incredibly lucky, we would enjoy it. And then there would probably be weeks or months where we didn't have access to those food sources. Yeah. So our body, my understanding is our digestional tract is actually not necessarily engineered to be metabolizing and digesting meat on a regular basis. But in moderation, in small portions, I think everything is fair game. It's not for me.
And that's understandable. And in all honesty, to each their own. And I preach this on the show, like everyone's body is different, you know.
1,000%. I think depending on your blood type, depending on your ancestry, your level of activity. Before you hit record, we were talking about you and your wife's protocols and your health regimens and what you've got going on with bodybuilding. I mean, I lift... You know, the only thing I'm lifting is my coffee cake or my, you know, my celery tray. I mean, you guys are doing heavy duty weight bearing activity. You might need the density of meat. You might need some blood in your bones. You know, I don't, because I'm not physically asking that much of my body. So I totally agree. I mean, I think it's important to take inventory of what you're doing or not doing, how you're sleeping, you know, what the demands are of your life and, you know, different times of the month for women in particular, in terms of their hormonal cycles. You know, you might at certain points of the month require more iron or more raw food, you know, and it's important, I think, to always listen to the signs and cues. Your body craves sometimes, you know, I'd like to say all the time, but I think the level of toxicity in our body can obscure intuition. But if we're starting from a place of really pure health, our body does know what it needs. I believe that. And if you need that steak, like, more power to you. You know, it's not my jam, but my husband's a carnivore, my children are carnivores, and they're all kind of like always in awe of my tempeh wraps and my Brussels sprout tacos with tahini.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with tahini, all right? There's nothing wrong with that. Like, honestly,
I import this tahini. It's talk about addiction. This tahini has become like such a huge part of it. There was a point where I first discovered this brand of tahini and I was literally putting it on everything, including my like morning croissant. And my husband walked in and was like, "Are you dipping a croissant in tahini?" And I said, "There's absolutely nothing tahini doesn't pair well with. It's like a good pair of blue jeans. It's like you can put it on a salad, you can put it on meat, like whatever it is, it works."
Just out of curiosity, do you guys add, we call it tahina. Our pronunciation of it is tahina, not tahini, but
yeah, tahini is completely American and I butchered it.
My mother says the same thing. So
I'm sorry. It's like fine. Kefir. Like my girlfriend from Russia is like, it's kefir. Or I still can't remember how to pronounce it correctly, but she always corrects me when I say, "Oh, I say kefir," and she says it's kefir. But I have to say, I feel kind of presumptuous saying it the correct way as an American to other Americans. Like, I don't want to be that French person at a restaurant who's like, you know, the Kai Papon. You
know, I know exactly. I know exactly what you're saying. I have a friend like that. And I'm like, dude, I just want to punch you in the face, man. Like,
mom has a flawless French accent. She was a French major in college, and she could fool any Parisian. But we'll go to, you know, back in the day when restaurants were a place where people went pre-COVID. You know, she would order this, you know, this really obscure thing in French, I think just so she could pronounce it, frankly. You know? But like part of me, it was just like blushing, you know, going like, "Oh, this is so awkward. Like, I know you can do it, but don't. We're American." Yeah. It's strange. It's presumptuous. I'm joking, obviously.
Do you guys put it in hummus there, just out of curiosity?
Like, yeah.
Because Massachusetts, like when I go back to Boston and I get my hummus from like Whole Foods or anywhere, there's no tahini in it. And I'm just like,
no, isn't that crazy?
It's missing something. No,
there's a great kebab place here I order for my kids, the chicken kebab, because I don't like to cook meat. And it's super traditional and it comes with basmati, saffron rice,
really?
And the T word. I don't dare pronounce it now after my big monologue.
You're totally fine. You're totally fine.
And the hummus. it's delicious. It's all delicious.
It should all go together. Is it like a Lebanese restaurant? I mean, they got kebab.
It's pseudo Lebanese. Yeah, okay. It's actually like an Americanized LA, very pretentious version of Middle Eastern, Lebanese. So it's got like, you know, a frittata that has like 15 kinds of zucchini in it, in addition to the kebab. So it's not a traditional Mediterranean restaurant. They've they've Losangified it.
Trust me, that's probably one of our traditional restaurants over here now. so don't worry about it.
Oh yeah, everyone's modernized.
Oh yeah.
In LA in particular, it's like girls go to a restaurant and they order a salad with, but they take everything out of it but the lettuce. So it's like just order lettuce or just buy lettuce. It's so much cheaper.
Yeah, no, I know. No, 100%. So let's dive into your background a little bit. How many autoimmune issues have you faced in your life, and what led you to create your own supplement company?
So I was born with a body that for some reason doesn't want to produce a sufficient, I shouldn't say sufficient because I'm sitting here talking to you. It's sufficient enough to keep me alive, but a normal number of white blood cells. So on a scale of like 4 to 11, I'm about a 1.7 in general. I've never been higher than a 2.5. So COVID, kind of a frightening phenomenon for me, right? Because I'm not overly equipped to fight virus. But at 14, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis in the same month. And actually was battling parasites at the same time. So it was kind of an explosive situation.
Wow. Wow. So what exactly is Crohn's disease, if you don't mind me asking?
It's an autoimmune disease. It is genetic. It's generally hereditary. I mean, we know now with genetics that you have markers that may or may not be turned on depending on environmental influences. It causes a lot of intestinal distress. And so that in conjunction with ulcerative colitis, which I believe was emotionally based and stress based, and having traveled internationally for a summer, for an entire summer, and having parasites was a lethal combination. So I was pretty knocked out.
Did you go to like Brazil or like, I mean, how did you get parasites? That's like something you get from drinking water out of the Nile in Egypt. I mean, no offense to my Egyptian friends. Yeah. I have a lot of Egyptian friends, but
how's Egyptian food?
Oh, it's amazing. Oh yeah, they eat everything. I love falafel. Like the Egyptian falafel that I've got.
I live for falafel.
It's amazing. Yeah. I had my buddy who was over here last week and he goes, "We don't get COVID. I drink out of the Nile. I don't get any disease because the Nile."
Right. Their immune system is prepared for this. Yeah. Like they've fought so much worse stuff.
100%.
We're so weak here in LA. We're like so over-sanitized with our, we were overusing Purell far before there was an actual threat. So I was in Africa and Jamaica the same summer. I was partially raised by a Jamaican woman who lived with us from the time my older sister is 2.5 years older than I am. And so this woman, Lucille, who's no longer with us, unfortunately, but Lucille moved in when my older sister was just 3.5 months old. And she lived with us until I went to college. And she traveled back and forth between my parents' homes. My parents divorced when I was 3 and was with my sister and I 100% of the time, you know, whereas my parents were with us 50% ultimately. And so I traveled back to Jamaica with my nanny during the summers and often during spring as well. I went home with her on the weekends. I mean, she was really a family member, like a second mom to me. But, you know, tap water in countries where you're not accustomed to the bacteria and the flora, whatever's going on there, is it can be really treacherous. And so between that and Africa and just not being particularly mindful of, you know, what I was drinking and eating there, I ended up with pretty bad parasites.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's brutal. Yeah. How long were you like, I mean, did they give you medicine for it? Or, I mean, I've heard sometimes they had to go in and get them out. Or like, how is that ordeal? I'm just
colonics,
curious. I hope I'm not.
Yeah. Colonics is kind of an alternative way. There are a few ways now that at 14 wasn't a part of my health journey, but open colonics, I think, there are two kinds of colonics, as far as I understand, open and closed systems. So my research has shown that open system colonics are the healthier of the two, the safer of the two. And I actually got a colonic I got a series of colonics in my 20s. And let me tell you, the things that came out, you cannot believe what is living in your body. Just like old toast, you know, like literally old toast. Like I saw this tip of a piece of toast and I thought to myself, I have not eaten toast in like weeks.
Oh, wow.
I saw parasites. There's also these ionic foot soaks that you can do where you can actually see parasites and other heavy metal toxins and stuff come out from the bottom of your foot because, you know, the foot absorbs so much. But I took a bunch of just traditional anti-parasitics, and then I also did herbs. I did Chinese herbs and I did Paul Darko. Woodworm is an excellent kind of natural, you know, anti-parasitic. There are a bunch of parasite detoxes that people can do, you know, in addition to traditional methods, but some of them are very stubborn. And I think what was challenging for me at the time is I had multiple influences with similar outcomes. You know, the symptoms I was experiencing from ulcerative colitis were not unlike the ones from Crohn's disease, which of course mirrored the symptoms of parasites. Just a lot of intestinal distress, weight loss, sleeplessness, all of those kinds of things.
Wow. So you were essentially kind of battered around in your early days with, you know, battling parasites. And I mean, that's brutal. So, you know, you get through this and you've realized what you put into your body has an effect.
Well, that was a huge part of my getting through it. You know, so the fact that you were saying one after the other is totally accurate. Like I had gone on prednisone for the ulcerative colitis and Crohn's, and I got so much worse, unfortunately, from the steroids. They then put me on a series of other Western medications. I'm unfortunately a very delicate, my husband calls me a delicate flower. I'm super resilient, but I'm very sensitive to anything I put in my body. And so unfortunately, I'm the person who, if there's any potential side effect, gets them all. And so that was happening with every medication I took. I eventually, after over a year of alternating between Western medications, got off everything and started from scratch holistically. So I saw a Chinese doctor at the time who gave me herbs. I did acupuncture. I saw a Sikh who gave me homeopathic remedies. And I saw a nutritionist. And the nutrition piece was the piece that felt the most manageable and accessible in some way, because I could easily select and choose what I was putting in my body on any given day versus with the herbs, where it's this kind of abstract pile of roots and, you know, pieces of bark and things. It's like kind of hard to identify what you're, you know, consuming. But the food piece was a huge game changer, because I really began to understand the healing properties of food and how essentially food is medicine and can cure a lot of disease.
Yeah, no, and that's so true. And I shoot myself in the foot all the time, because I'm like, yeah, what you put into your body has an effect on everything you do, your workouts, your sleep, your everything. And I, for one, know when I eat, for instance, chicken, dairy, certain foods, heavy on carbs, I don't feel good, but I love to do it. You know,
sure, we all do. You know, it's momentary pleasure.
Yeah, I love to do it. And I know that red meat for me keeps me going. Literally, I could live off of bone and ribeyes for the rest of my life and not have a problem with it.
Right.
Whereas, you know, and
poultry seems to be problematic.
Oh, huge, big time. I don't know if it's just poultry in the Middle East or if it is in the US. I'd never really, because when I'm in the US, I kind of eat anything and everything because I don't see that food all year. So right. I can't pinpoint anything. But when I'm here, I can definitely pinpoint the foods that make me feel good, make me feel bad. And, you know, just chicken just does not sit with me for some reason. My hands swell up. My body just gets really inflamed. My joints hurt. And, you know, it just goes to show with what you said, when you can control how you're feeling through your nutrition, it makes a world of a difference. Now, when you got into that piece of your inputs, so to speak, like your foods, everything that's going into your body, how did life change after that? And how did that start you on your journey of creating your own supplements?
Sure. So I do want to respond to what you just said, because I think it's important. If something isn't agreeing with you, it could be for a couple of reasons. One is sourcing. And that's why I think you noted that, you know, you don't know if you would have a similar reaction to food in America. And within America, of course, there are multiple ways in which food is sourced, and a lot of ways are not as pure as other ways. And so you might have different experiences, you know, depending on which grocery store you shop at or which butcher you go to. So sourcing is really huge, which is why, and we'll get back to the story of how I started my company, but which is why I am scrupulous about sourcing, okay? Because it does affect your experience with not only metabolizing, but benefiting from or being adversely affected by what you put in your body. The other thing is that, you know, a lot of us don't talk about is that not every healthy thing is healthy for every person. Like you were saying, you know, you could live on ribeye and then maybe that's your jam and that's what fuels your body. And for me, it would knock me out for a month. You know, you might have a sensitivity or an allergy to dairy or to poultry. And so, you know, for one person, chicken might be the best solution for their fatigue. And for another person, their body just may have an inflammatory response. And we know that inflammation is one of the things that caused brain fog and fatigue and, you know, muscle aches and soreness and all of those things. So I crawled out of my sort of teenage despair, you know, but again, after having, so I just also want to note that what changed, you were asking about the physical changes. What changed was not only feeling free of the symptoms, which for me were a lot of intestinal distress. You know, I wasn't digesting food properly, a lot of bloating and gas, a lot of nausea, a lot of pain in my stomach, chronic fatigue, insomnia at the same time, which are kind of like dueling realities that are confusing for people. But you can be sort of brain foggy during the day, but up all night if your body isn't regulated and there's a lot of inflammation. But I also felt a huge shift emotionally and mentally when I changed my diet and began to heal. And, you know, we're now understanding so much more about the microbiome and the gut and how gut health is so responsible for and influences so deeply, you know, our mental health and our state of well-being. But that wasn't as much of a conversation 25 years ago when I was 100%. Really in the depths of my, people just kind of wrote a prescription and there were not a lot of alternative remedies. You know, I had to do a lot of deep diving to understand later on in life, the mental health piece of wellness. And, you know, so to circle back around to your second question, I had two children in 24 months, and I had been breastfeeding my first child through a large portion of my pregnancy, gave birth and began breastfeeding my daughter. And within a very short period of time, I recognized how depleted I was. And had to do with circumstances relating to my pregnancy. We had to move twice. I mean, the second move was while I was in labor, literally. Our house was falling through. The roof was falling through from rain. We moved into an Airbnb and I went into labor that night that we moved into an Airbnb with a couple of bags, you know, packed. So there had been a lot of exhaustion throughout, you know, especially the latter part of my pregnancy, but also just having a 24-month-year-old to be responsible for and then giving birth and wanting to be fully present for both of my babies, you know, took a toll. We also know that, you know, breastfeeding, as miraculous and beautiful as an offering as it is to a child and for a mother as well. I mean, it's a beautiful gift that, you know, for us and experienced rest, it does strip pounds of minerals from one's body. And if you're in any way malnourished or undernourished to begin with, the consequences will surface relatively quickly in the way of exhaustion or depression. So I recognized pretty quickly after my daughter was born that I was sliding into a place that I felt would potentially lead to more serious health issues. I had not had that experience after my son, but two kids in 24 months, breastfeeding continuously, lots of environmental stress that I was not in control of, and having had a history of, you know, really relying heavily on food as medicine, I decided to start my company. There's more to the story, how these particular books evolved. Initially, we wanted to create a line for breastfeeding and pregnant women because that's where it was at the time. I was, you know, a new mom of two and breastfeeding, but I realized that I wanted to have a line that could sustain me personally indefinitely. And so my motives were a little bit selfish in terms of wanting to feed myself.
But is it selfish to, you know, actually experiment and bring something good and nourishing to the rest of the world? I mean, once you experiment on yourself, you know, aren't we our own best guinea pigs? I always told my kids, I used to coach baseball for 15 years, and I always told them, hey, I would never make you guys do something I wouldn't do myself, whether it was a push-up, a burpee, pull-ups, you name it. Whatever I was going to ask my kids to do, I was ready and willing to do with them. So, I mean, I totally get it. And it's awesome when you can come up with a product from something you're trying to nourish your body with. So sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just think it's great that you did do that.
No, I appreciate that. And what you're saying makes total sense, and it's absolutely accurate and on point. And what I developed essentially was a more pure version of my own medicine cabinet, you know, because I wanted to trust what I was putting in my body because I was breastfeeding children. You know, in addition to that, you know, in addition to just being your own best guinea pig in a way, it's really hard to sustain passion about something that you're not really personally invested in, you know. And as a business owner, there's so much to running a business that doesn't relate to the reason why you started the business and the more soulful aspects of what you're trying to contribute and offer. And so to have my own personal allegiance to these, you know, supplements and to this nutrition really helps me keep my eye on the ball, because all of the peripheral aspects of, you know, sustaining a business ultimately are leading to one thing, which is my desire to help people and to help myself.
And that makes total sense. And I really appreciate that where you said, you know, help people, help myself. And I think it's great that you do have such a clean line of products out there from what I could see. And I honestly wish we didn't have COVID going on and I could order some of your products, because
yes,
I mean, they seem really badass. Most of the things that you have in your, you know, your organic green superfood blend or your super blend,
yes,
is stuff that sits really well with my body. And, you know, as simple as moringa leaf, which is something I don't really see in a lot of superfood blends. You know, you always see the blueberries, you see all the poster boy stuff, but you don't really see some of the, you know, like the dandelion leaf. You don't really see that often. And can you dive into some of the thought process that went behind creating some of these products and the sourcing of it? I mean, that's just, I know moringa leaf pretty well and experimenting on my own body.
I'm just curious, do you use it for energizing effects because of your weightlifting?
Yes. Yeah. I have.
So welcome to being a mother of two small children. We need that energy. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Look, I use that. I go through a lot of stuff. For me, it's like my wife's like, oh, what's the flavor of the week this week? You know, because she jokes around.
Right.
It's like, what's working for you? Is it creatine? Is it L-carnitine?
Right.
Is it acetyl-carnitine? Is it,
MSM, NAC?
Yeah. Is it alpha GPC? What's going on with you this week? And for me, like,
there's so many acronyms.
Oh, there are. And it's sometimes like, it's turned into like, I'm just going to put a scoop of everything inside my shaker bottle before the workout. But when I'm very heavily invested, especially in my recovery, you know, I have a blend that I take for my adrenal fatigue. You know, I'm 37 mm-hmm. years old. So there is a lot that goes into my recovery right now. With magnesium is a big supplement for me right now. I felt so much better. Omega-3s.
Do you take magnesium before bed ever?
Yes. Yeah, I have. And it's irritated me a little bit, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. So I tend to take...
You're taking a little too much?
Maybe. I mean,
you could be taking too much.
I think it's a little too much. Even when I reduced it, it just wasn't sitting well with me at night.
I see.
So I tend to take it earlier. I'll take it right after dinner at around 6 o'clock. I go to bed at usually 9, 10 o'clock. So right around there.
Okay.
You know, and it's good to see your supplements, because a lot, like I said, a lot of them sit well. Like, there are supplements that I see out there that have, you know, especially the nighttime stuff where they'll have like theanine in it. And theanine, it has the adverse effect on me. I'm wired if I have theanine.
Right.
I'm absolutely wired. And it goes back to what you said earlier. Everyone's body reacts completely different. And, you know, people that take ashwagandha, they'll get the calming effect and, you know, they'll get that side of it. For me, no, it's the opposite. It's like I had 350 milligrams of caffeine and I can't focus and just hypertension.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I try to stay away from that.
Ashwagandha is an adaptogen. So the thing with adaptogens is it's responding to where you are foundationally, you know, and everyone has a different starting point. Our foundations are different. Our hormone levels are different. Our cortisol levels. And so the goal of an adaptogen is, you know, it's an herb that tries to basically match whatever your body's needs are, you know, in essence.
Yeah.
But we all don't know our starting point a lot of the time. And so sometimes we take too much of something or too little, and it's just not respond to what our actual needs are. And it's hard to assess sometimes because, like we were discussing earlier in this conversation, our individual needs vary from day to day and moment to moment. You might respond well to something one day and not well 5 days later, but consistently there are things that don't agree with your body, and there's a reason for that. So
it could be the sourcing also. I mean, we don't have
it. Absolutely could be the sourcing.
Right? We have some of the cheaper brands in Kuwait. They come here, they sell really expensive. You go onto sites like Labdoor and you check out, you know, their just the brand itself. And I've gone on and usually they've, you know, it's a bunch of fillers. And one of the brands that, you know, one of our big supplement companies here claimed is like, oh, the best omega-3 you can get on the market. I dug a little deeper and find out they were being sued in, you know, California. So it was like
for making false claims.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like when you're getting sued and you're making false claims, then you know your product's probably not that good. And I chalk it up at the end of the day to something's to the sourcing factor of it. We were talking about CBD earlier, and I have had good CBD and I have had absolutely horrible CBD.
Right.
And I think the same goes for ashwagandha. Theanine, I've tried different variations all over the world and it's always kind of had the same effect with me.
Sure.
Ashwagandha, I had noticed that my testosterone jumped a little bit. I'm smart enough to know when I'm low in testosterone or high in testosterone, if that makes any sense. I can kind of...
Of course. Yeah, I can you're in tune with your body.
Yeah, I can definitely feel it. So
I'm sure your wife can as well.
Yeah.
But ashwagandha, all those adaptogens can and, you know, affect your hormones. So it is important to, you know, as people who are not overly informed about supplements, to not, you know, just kind of self-diagnose and start taking a bunch of stuff. If there's an amount, like I've included some adaptogens in my greens blend, but it's a very responsible amount, you know. And what I was doing previous to owning my own supplement company was constantly self-diagnosing and acting like a functional medicine doctor for myself and trying every single thing in the market. And we have these beautiful gourmet health food stores here and supplement stores. And we have access to online stuff where it's like endless amounts of herbs. And I was just taking everything. And did you say it was an omega-3 that was a company that was manufacturing them? Like, are they third-party tested? Because if they are, someone probably would have discovered discrepancies between what they're claiming and what the actual effects of the supplements are. And unfortunately, the effects of supplements that aren't well-sourced and aren't organic and pure are not neutral. They're not benign. Like, they can actually hurt you and have harmful effects. It's way better not to put anything in your body, in my opinion, than things that aren't organic and properly sourced.
I would have to agree with that. And one thing that I was bewildered at when I saw a few years ago, when I first, you know, was introduced to like sites like Labdoor, for instance, was arsenic. I was like, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me there's arsenic in my protein powder? It's small amounts, but we all know arsenic can build up over time, definitely cause gut health issues, and it could cause a lot of issues down the road. And it's just, I agree with you 100% that, you know, knowing the source is, you know, pretty much the whole battle, in my opinion. It's funny that when you said you were your own kind of doctor, you know, And I went down that route with the Hillbilly Tonic. I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
I need to know everything about it. I want to get out some barbecue sauce and cornbread right now and talk about whatever that is. Sounds delightful.
One of my buddies, we get a lot of guys from the military here, and he introduced me to it. It's got like Tabasco sauce, garlic, peppers, cayenne peppers. It's got shredded horseradish. It's literally got everything in it. Anything you can kind of think of that's gross, it's pretty much in there. And you put it in a jar and just kind of let it sit for like 3 or 4 days. And,
oh
yeah, yeah. Fermented. My first time trying this, I was kind of like, I was like, dude, are you sure?
Are you sure they weren't playing a prank on you? I'm starting to.
I know Daryl. I know Daryl.
Did they tell you to put like a toad's foot in there or something?
I don't know. It was pretty nasty. I can't say I felt great drinking it. You know, the whole thing was to drink a shot a day, and Daryl did this. He swears by it. He was like
a natural. Basically, it's a homemade natural antibiotic. So let's kill whatever's in
your body. And he swore by it. He was 58, still bench pressing around 300 pounds. So I was kind of like, all right, this dude's doing something right.
Right, right.
I did it for about a week, and I was like, all right, I can't do this anymore.
He was doing steroids, let's be honest.
I know, it had probably. Nothing to do with the hillbilly
talk. I know, right? No, I'm joking. Here's my personal thought about that. So I sell olive leaf extract, which is an antiviral, antimicrobial, antibacterial. It's amazing. It's a natural antibiotic. That in conjunction with olive leaf extract, which you can take in capsule form or in a tincture, that will knock a lot out. There's other stuff too. I mean, people take garlic. I'm of the mindset that people probably shouldn't be taking that kind of a brew, that kind of cocktail on a daily basis, because you sort of want to save it for a moment where your body is actually trying to fight something. It's hard. It's hard to know with our immune systems what is too much and what's not enough. But I feel like, you know, like in the same way that we only save antibiotics for a time when we're really not well, when we're not healthy and need to be killing something, we don't actually want to be killing everything in our gut every day. We want to actually, you know, be a little bit more refined with our sensibilities about what we're preserving, what we're not. And so when we actually do throw darts at whatever, you know, intruder or invader is in there, it's responsive.
That makes total sense. And that just brings me on to turmeric. And turmeric has been such a hot topic over the last few years. You know, it seems like every single supplement company has a turmeric supplement. Mm-hmm. Personally, I used to mix my own turmeric. It's gross, but I just take a teaspoon of it, you know, in the morning. I would, you know, it was after my hillbilly tonic phase.
I actually just had a turmeric latte.
You guys out in LA, you guys have everything out there. I mean, I haven't had a turmeric latte.
With homemade almond milk and Ceylon cinnamon. This was my latte. I'm just remembering a few moments ago the joy of sipping that.
Oh, so you didn't go to Starbucks. Mm-hmm. You had that at home.
Yeah, I make my own lattes every morning. Usually I do a matcha latte.
Okay.
Every morning I've become. Do you guys have matcha?
Or
do
yeah, you, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have matcha.
Yeah, it's just become so popularized overnight here. But I do a matcha latte almost every morning, and it's got such good stuff in it. But I did add turmeric this morning, so it was like more of a turmeric matcha latte. I mean, sometimes my flavor choices are like a little bit too experimental. It's like there's just too many flavor profiles in this one beverage, but it's exciting to kind of mix and match.
Now, do you feel it? Here's my question to you, because you've experimented a lot on your body. I've experimented a lot, especially with taking supplements also. Do you feel an immediate difference within a few days or a week, or do you feel the difference when you stop taking it? For instance,
with turmeric in particular?
I'd say with anti-inflammatory such as turmeric and, you know.
You know, I don't take turmeric on a regular basis. So first of all, it's curcumin is that, you know, the component of turmeric that is anti-inflammatory. So I actually, that's one of the things I sell, right? I sell curcumin. I take it a lot. My husband had shoulder surgery and has all kinds of inflammation all the time from his diet, his carnivorous sugar-infused diet. I'm messing with you. No, it's mostly the sugar. And it's the sugar in his case. It's definitely the sugar in my case. I have got a really wicked sweet tooth. But so he takes curcumin. He does notice more of a difference than I do. I think I work so actively to counter inflammation in my daily choices by getting enough sleep, drinking plenty of water, and not eating foods that I know are inflammatory for my body. So when you're that nuanced, you know, I really have eliminated so many of my sources of inflammation that I don't think a turmeric latte is going to, you know, I'm not, if I'm noticing a difference from one turmeric latte, I feel like it's probably a placebo. I think it takes probably two weeks minimum to really notice a difference in general with supplementation, unless it's, you know, you're popping an Advil or something, right? But like when it comes to more holistic supplements, it takes a couple weeks. And for me, for sure, yes, I notice more when I'm not taking it, because the new normal becomes like me feeling amazing, right? Like I'm going to be 40 in July. I've never, ever in my life felt better than I feel today. But when I get off track and I stop taking my supplements and I start eating too much sugar and I'm not sleeping great, you know, I feel it. I feel it really quickly.
You just kind of answered what I was looking for, or I was hoping to hear, actually. Because I was, you know, I supplement with turmeric. It was part of the recovery blend that I was taking over the summer. And, you know, I've been getting hurt a lot the past 6 weeks. And it's because, you know, I've run out, basically. You know, being in Kuwait with COVID, it's like anything you order from abroad, you know, we were talking about this earlier. You can't really get as much of it now. And then when you do get it, it takes about 2 or 3 weeks to re-up, depending on the shipping and depending on everything else. And I cut this out and I didn't think anything of it. And my wife actually brought it to my attention and she was like, yeah, you haven't been supplementing in with your turmeric lately. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, your recovery blend. And I was like, that makes sense. And it was heavy on the turmeric side. It was turmeric, CBD, you know, it was a mixture of turmeric and CBD. So I think it, you know, is killing two birds with one stone, basically.
Yeah. Well, also, maybe you don't feel the pain from the CBD.
I know, maybe.
You're like, in such a good mood. You're like, who cares if it hurts?
I know, right? I know. CBD, actually, surprisingly, I was like, all right, let me try and take CBD before I work out and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I had like one of the best workouts of my life. And I don't know if it was a placebo effect or what it was. But I'm definitely too chicken to try it again.
Because you don't want to ruin that like magical.
No, I really don't. I just had a flow.
You don't want to find out if it was a placebo.
Yeah, no, I really don't. Because I had a flow. In CrossFit, there's Olympic lifting. And then there's like a workout where it's, you know, high intensity, basically interval training for like 20 or 30 minutes. It, you know, it kills me. It kills my central nervous system. So this, I was like calm, moving through it, you know, going at a really good steady pace. And then afterwards, I was like, what was different? No, it couldn't have been the CBD. You know, I chalked it up to, I just slept well the night before. But like you said, I don't want to ruin it. But I was just curious with the turmeric question, because your turmeric blend is 95% curcumin. Other supplements on the market are a lot less.
Yeah, and I don't think they're probably as effective as mine.
Probably not.
Just to be super blunt, there's a reason it's that percentage, because we want to actually feel effects, right? Like, you know, and that's again with just trusting reputable sources. It's like people can throw a name or a label at something and it doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? Like, you have, like, how much is actually of the active ingredient of something that is actually in the supplement, you know, to ensure that it has a real benefit and effect. Marketing is so interesting in general. Like, I remember for years in my 20s, I was buying things that said natural on it, all natural, right? Like, I would buy whatever chips or, you know, this is when it was like, I was like healthy, but still wanting my you know, I'm not like I am now where it's like Casava tortillas and whatever, but I was like, all natural, all natural. And then I read somewhere that, you know, natural doesn't mean organic. And this was sort of at the beginning of people going like, yeah, organic is really different from food that's not organic. And they just sort of tricked us by saying natural. Like, that word meant nothing. It was naturally not natural. You know? Like, it didn't mean anything. Like, it wasn't even non-MGO. Like, it just meant nothing. But I was buying it because it said natural. And so we have to be really careful to not be seduced, you know, by beautiful labels and packaging, and to really do the deeper dive. You know, it sounds like you do, like you unpack things and go like, oh, this doesn't really make sense when I look at it. Or if I take this, I don't feel good. There might be something else going on here, you know? And that's what I did. I mean, when I started my supplement company, I was not having great experiences with the nutrition that I was consuming. I wasn't having the effects I wanted. I didn't like the way things tasted. I didn't want to have to be constantly mixing and matching and playing doctor all the time. I wanted to work with a great team of consultants to create stuff that I trusted. That's also, you know, indicative of the controlling part of me, you know, like the part of me that just really wanted some assurance that I would be well and stay well. But we all need that right now, I think, with COVID in particular. There's so much outside of our control right now. It's really hard to let go and to continue to focus on our little micro worlds, you know, and the things that are beautiful in our everyday lives. But I have to say, this nutrition has sustained me and given me peace of mind during a time that, you know, that has, I think, catalyzed insecurities for a lot of people. You know, it's been a really strange time psychologically, mentally, emotionally, and physically for people. And to know that there's, you know, nourishment that I feel is keeping me strong has been really helpful for me.
And that makes total sense. And I think it's awesome that you can actually put things into your body that you're well adversed on and know a lot about.
Are you calling me a control freak? No. Is that a nice way of saying I'm a control freak?
No, definitely. That's me saying that you're pretty smart.
Good. So you didn't chat with my husband before the interview. Okay, good. We're in good shape. All right.
This moves me on to my next question. And it's, I think, a question that a lot of people have, but no one ever comes out and asks. And I think you could probably explain it a lot better than me. Spirulina. Mm-hmm. You also offer that supplement. What does spirulina do? What's its background? I would say just to give our listeners a little bit of a background on it, because I can answer that, but I'm not going to give the same answer that you're going to give.
I'm just curious, and I have to ask you again. I love asking. I totally know your whole arsenal, and I wish that I could ship you stuff right away, but have you tried spirulina for energizing again?
I tried a blend of, and my guys at the office thought I was absolutely insane because I walked into, and this is a very culture sensitive office that I work at. We're talking, you know, guys that are of the Bedouin culture. They're very, very in tune to habits, rituals, so to speak. And they look at me funny because A, I don't dress like them, B, I don't talk like them, and C, I sure as hell don't eat like them. And they saw me walk in with a bunch of baggies with green stuff in it. And they're like, it was, you know, spirulina, matcha, forget the other one. It was a brown powder. And I was essentially taking this
maca.
Maca. Yes, it was maca. It was maca, which I haven't been able to find in Kuwait for like 2 years.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Yeah.
You could find it here literally like on the sidewalk.
I know.
It's so abundant.
You guys have everything over there. Like, I'm so jealous.
Well, maca is great for fertility. So I've been recommending it to some girlfriends who are having issues with that. But
so,
go on.
All right. So that's more for females. I'm glad I knew I was taking something.
Yeah, no, but it's energizing. It's energizing as well.
And I'll definitely say, like, when I took my weird green powder blend and stuff in the morning, yeah, I did feel energized for the rest of the day, whether it was that or abundance of coffee that I was drinking, either or. But I'm sure it helped me along the way. But for us, spirulina was actually really expensive. I think I bought a bag of it for $40 or $50.
Oh, my.
Yeah, yeah, it was really expensive. And I remember my wife saying, are you sure you're going to actually use that? And I was like, yeah, I always use this stuff.
Right.
But what is it?
She's like, well, you definitely have to, because at that price point, I'm not really asking you, I'm telling you.
She'd look at my shelf and she'd be like, you've wasted so much money this month. But I was like, yeah, but look at me. I'm going to be healthy. And
oh my gosh, my husband has given me that lecture so many times, because I try every powder, everything. I'm like, should we add this to a formula? I'm in the middle of formulating a bunch of new stuff, including an adrenal and stress support supplement. But because of that, I'm literally trying everything. And he's like, what are you going to do with the rest of this bottle or the rest of this package? And I'm like, I'm going to wait like a year to throw it away until it expires, so I don't feel like as guilty. So the algae world is kind of awesome, and the benefits are pretty incredible. I don't want to overstate, because what I'm about to say is still speculative, but there is trending research that implies that there might be some anti-cancer benefits to, you know, members of the algae world as well. And for some reason, cancer's the one struggle that I've always feared. It doesn't run in my family and I don't have it, but I do a lot of like cancer prevention for myself personally. I just think with the level of toxicity in the world, it's kind of wise for us all to be really mindful of detoxifying and staying clean. And algae, I think it's going to explode. In a couple of years, I think we're going to have a lot more data to support that. But yeah, the energizing piece is huge. I mean, it's funny because you're talking about, did you mention Moringa a while back?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is something that's in some of my supplements. It's also good for breastfeeding, by the way. It's good for, it increases milk production. But yeah, all of these things that I've, my supplements tend to have an energizing effect, because as a new mother, that was what I was looking for. And now as a mother of a 4 and 6 year old, I'm like, oh, I need the adrenal support. Now I need to calm down.
Yeah,
because I have little rugrats running around teasing each other. I mean, you and I were laughing right before you pressed record because you were handling your son and my daughter had just accidentally split my son's lip open and he was bleeding everywhere. And you know, obviously my husband was chasing them out of the room so we could chat. So the next round of supplements that I'm working on have to do with supporting thyroid, supporting women's libido, supporting detoxification. So you can tell I'm aging. You can tell now that I'm thinking about all of these next things that are very relevant to me and where I am. So adrenal support is going to be at the top of the list. I've already got sort of basic formulas for this stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's going to require a lot of... Thank you. I'm excited about it.
Look,
it's going to be a while.
I'm not going to lie. I've tried several adrenal blends. And, you know, look, I'm a CrossFitter. I work hard every day for about 2-3 hours. Talking
wow.
lifting heavy. And I try to do it. I try, in quotations, I still try to be competitive at my age on a master's level from 35 to 40 or whatever. So I still try to be as competitive as possible. And, you know, that's working full time, going to the gym for 2-3 hours or two hours, so to speak. If you take out the stretching, that usually takes me an hour to just get loose nowadays. So I mean, you know, I've tried different supplements to sort of stave off the adrenal fatigue that goes on in my body. And, you know, I stuck with it for about 2-3 weeks, but I really didn't find any changes at all. And that was while I was still tracking my HRV. I was tracking my sleep, so I was kind of really on point with everything. I think, you know, it goes maybe it just didn't work for me, you know, what was in there. I would, like, when you have something put on the market, I'm going to come back on your site and I'll probably check it out and try it.
I'm putting together something pretty clever. So I'm sure it will include ingredients that whatever you've sampled doesn't include, but I will also say for you, the key might just be supporting your baseline with organic green super blend kinds of things so that you just don't max out and aren't as crushed, right? So that you don't require as much aftercare. So there are different ways to approach it. I mean, we all want kind of the prevention angle, right? We want to prevent not feeling our best, and then we want to recover and to support ourselves in the recovery process. It just sounds like you might want to emphasize and place more energy on the prevention.
Yeah.
And then allow sleep and kind of naturally de-stressing to support your body, which they will.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it works. I try everything in the kitchen sink sometimes. I throw it at my body. Yeah. I mean, hell, my wife almost killed me when, you know, she saw that a Sona was being delivered to the house. She's like, what?
Oh, I'm dying for one. I've been researching. Does your head stick out of it? Because I just don't want to fry my brain.
Oh, no. I bought mine from a store here in Kuwait. It was on the floor. And I said, look, dude, this has been on the floor for 1.5 years. I will buy it off of you right now if you take off about 300 KD, which is the equivalent to $1,000. So I was like, if you can cut the price down to that much, I'll give you the cash right now and I'll buy it.
I love it.
So the guy goes, let me talk to my manager, whatever, comes back and he goes, all right, we can do that deal. You're right.
Amazing.
It's been here.
Way to make a deal.
And, you know, I was like, oh, look, see the rubber's falling off. It was literally stuff that I could fix in a matter of like an hour. So they show up and it's a brand new one that they had in storage that no one knew about. So
Oh my gosh.
So I got this awesome infrared sauna. Me and my wife can sit in there, not comfortably.
Yeah.
You know, and not because of her. She's not that big. She's a power lifter, but she's only 57 kilos, so she's still tiny. But you know,
well, I don't know what that translates in pounds, but 57 is a small number.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about, I don't know, like 110 pounds maybe.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And she's that as mighty as you've described.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I have no excuses.
She's got some serious strength. So she's pretty tiny when it comes down to it. And you know, it's infrared sauna. And I swear by it. In all honesty, like I do hot and cold. She almost killed me again when I came home with a steel tub that was fabricated to put next to the sauna so that I could do my ice and cold plunges.
I am so glad that you live across the world, because we would just endorse each other to do things that would drive our spouses crazy. I literally convinced my husband to get a treadmill, not just any treadmill, this Nordic, really expensive Nordic treadmill that happened to be on sale over the holidays. And, you know, they have a guide with a screen, you know, running with you and all this stuff. And he looked at me and he said, "You know what that treadmill is going to be for you, right?" And I said, "A lifesaver." He goes, "No. A coat rack." And I said, "Come on, give me some credit. I've used it one time.
Really?
In 6 months. Yeah. And so that's why I can't like push for the sauna. Also, we don't own our home. You own your home, right? So you're able to sort of establish, you know, these things can really have a true residence, a permanent residence.
100%. Yeah.
Moving a sauna and a treadmill, I feel like would be a headache. But so what I've heard with the sauna, not only is it incredible for detoxification and, you know, like cell turnover, all this stuff, but I've heard that if you are starting to come down with something, like you just can sweat it out so quickly in that thing.
I have tried that. I didn't have it last year when I had COVID, but this year I felt like a little bit of a head cold coming on. And, you know, my son had a runny nose. It was just a typical head cold. And when I felt it coming on, I immediately went straight into the sauna. You know, and I tend to go overboard sometimes. So there's a thermometer on the inside. I wrap a piece of cold, wet tissue around it. So it drops the temperature.
Did you bypass the system?
I bypassed the system so I could get the sauna.
That is hardcore.
Oh, yeah. No, it gets hot in there. Like my wife will walk in. She'll be like, "Why the hell is it this hot in here? It doesn't get this hot when I'm in here." I'm like, "Honey,
it's 4,000 degrees.
Yeah, I was like, "Honey, you don't know how to mess with this thing. I know how." And she looks up. She goes, "You're going to kill yourself." I'm like, "No, I'm totally fine. You know, I'm only in here for about 10 minutes. I go between the cold, either a cold shower or a cold bath, just because I know bringing my body temperature up that high, I still want to drop it again to kind of get the immune effects on my body and heighten my immune
system. They also say that the cold shower is anti-stress.
It actually is. Our heater in our pool a few weeks ago. So our water's around 55 degrees, and I've been jumping in it regularly for the past 2 weeks. It's been awesome, to be honest with you. Like, I get out, I'm refreshed, I'm ready to go. It could be 9 o'clock at night, and I'm just like, wow, you know, like I am, and I sleep like a baby. Those two things lately have been helping my body that's been breaking down from the crazy workouts. But sauna, I would definitely say a sauna is a good investment, especially if it's infrared.
Well, so I have to hear what happened with your little head cold. Do you feel like the sauna had a good effect?
Yeah, I honestly did. I think it didn't hit me. You know, like it usually hits me when my son has it, and I did not get hit by it. I didn't have a stuffy nose. Maybe a little bit the next day I had a runny nose during my workout. But again, I went back in the sauna after my workout. I do it for recovery also post-workout. You know, just to kind of relax my muscles a little bit and get my body to calm down. And it just really, like, honestly, I felt like it did detoxify me. It helped me sweat it out. And when I do feel like I've eaten something that isn't agreeing with me and I feel a little bit bloated, I'll go in there. I feel great afterwards. So
really?
Yeah, I honestly feel like whatever goes into my body from what I consumed, you know, I sweat it out.
I'm going to buy a house just so I can get that thing. I want one.
Honestly, it's the best investment, but my wife still yells at me every day, especially because I put it in, you know, I put it in a bathroom that is used downstairs. So she's like, so we have people coming into our house, not only seeing a sauna, but a big steel tub in the middle of the shower. She's like, they think they're insane.
It's like someone wanders in there at a dinner party and just doesn't come out.
Yeah.
Then you knock on the door. They're like fully detoxed. They've missed the entire dinner. I would totally do that. If I was your guest, I would just disappear. You wouldn't see me. We'd be eating kebab and tahina. And all of a sudden, I would be gone. I would have drifted away to that sauna. And I would have spent the entire day in there. How amazing.
It's funny how many people have come here for like a workout and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, dude, make yourself at home. You know, use the sauna if you want. No one uses it. And I'm like, I think
people are scared of it. You know, I have some reservations. I had reservations before I really did the research, just because, first of all, for a lot of people, it's not a pleasant experience. No one likes overheating. But if it's done in a way that is you know, responsible, it should ultimately feel good. I think that you sound to me like a person who doesn't mind being uncomfortable.
I do CrossFit. We're uncomfortable all the time when we're working out.
Oh my God. I'm so averse to being uncomfortable. I'm so averse to it. I really try to admit it. My husband took my kids camping Sunday night, and it was my daughter's first time joining the boys. My son's been camping since he was 18 months old. My husband camps with him at least once or twice a month. I mean, they're out there year round in the wilderness. And this was the first time my daughter joined, and I stayed at home. And I have to say, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, this is so incredible. I'm at home alone. You know, and the next day they came back yesterday morning, and my daughter goes, like, don't you want to sleep in the tent with me and daddy and Matt? And I was like, just thinking to myself, no, that sounds so uncomfortable. And my husband's always like, but you know, just for this tiny bit of discomfort, like a sleepless night or whatever it is, like you have this gorgeous raging fire and the views and the canyon and the boulders and we're climbing and there's food roasting. And I'm like, oh, that sounds uncomfortable. Like I can just take a hike during the day. But between your ability to buffer discomfort and then also your desire to try new things and to experiment, I mean, it's a really, I think, an important combination to get to your level of physical strength and prowess. I mean, you don't look like you look. I mean, I can only see your shoulders, but they look broad.
Yeah, I think that comes from strong. My mother's side. That comes from my mother's side, but
You look very strong. I can't see your biceps because of the visuals.
Oh, I have no biceps. Since I started doing CrossFit, my body's weirdly changed. Because CrossFit, it's very, you lift a lot of heavy weights, but you're also doing the cardio at the same time. So you don't get that hypertrophy effect you would get like in bodybuilding. You know, we do a lot of compound lifts like back squat, deadlifts, Olympic lifts, like a clean and jerk, so to speak. And then you go into like the WADS, which is like, you know, 20 minutes of hell, basically, where you're doing toes to bar and double unders and burpees and just whatever crazy crap my coach wants to throw at me that day, basically. Right. But it all has purpose to it. At least
So you have a coach.
Yeah, I do have a coach.
Oh, so you're bypassing the sauna, but you do have a coach to guide you through. Yeah. I like, that sounds very responsible.
And he always tells me whenever I say, oh, I had a crap workout, he goes, how was your sleep the night before? What did you eat? Or, you know, how's your nutrition been? And I'm like,
he's keeping track.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, just all those variables. And then when I say something, he's like, well, 2 weeks ago, you said you weren't sleeping well. And I'm like, dude, why are you going back 2 weeks of my messages, man? You know, so.
He sounds hypervigilant. I love him.
He is. He says very few words, but when he says something, it has a lot of meaning to it and substance to it. So it's pretty cool.
Right.
Really good guy. He's younger than me, which is cool. Great CrossFitter, high level athlete. Same thing, very in tune with his body, tries everything. I think it's important to try things. Like when you said earlier, you know, you try things. Yeah, I do. Because if you don't try something, you don't know how it's going to work with your body. Have you seen the Halo? It's a... like a headset that you put on and electrocutes, it stimulates your cerebral cortex.
I've done it.
I've done it too. And
it's really interesting.
Does it work?
Did you feel like you were tripping? I felt altered.
You
didn't feel anything.
I did it to prime my workout.
Okay.
And I learned how to handstand walk within 4 weeks, I would say. At least get the quick basics of it. Like I was able to, I was able to walk about 5 feet on my hands within 4 weeks. And that was me diligently doing it before every session of practicing my handstand walks. Whether to do with the Halo or it was me, I have no idea. Could have been
but
a placebo.
You love that placebo and you love not verifying what is causing what because you want to keep going. I love that. My son almost exclusively walks on his hands now. This is his obsession.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing. He's six?
He's so coordinated. He's a little acrobat. He just turned six.
That is amazing.
And this little guy is so just agile and fast. And I mean, he's got this athleticism. It's funny. I'm happy to hear you have a coach because you're doing such intense training. And I feel like for me, in order to work out consistently, I would need someone... just for motivation, I think. It's so interesting, as motivated as I am to eat well and to have a clean body, and I'm incredibly, incredibly focused on sleep, and you know, I've got great rituals in my life and routines, But exercise is the one piece I'm really struggling with right now. Like, I just don't make time for it. And there's no excuse, because I'm listening to how much time you spend exercising and I'm like, I have no excuse. Like,
but is it, I mean, for you, like, and I always say this to my clients, what's the purpose of it? You know, what's your purpose of exercising? Is it longevity? Is it, you know, squatting down to play with your kid? Is it kneeling on all fours to play with your child while he's playing with his little train set? You know, for me, these are questions that I'll strike up to my clients and be like, yeah, you know what? It's so I can play with my kid more, so I can run around with them. And if you can already do most of that stuff and you can go for long hikes and you have that, then in my opinion, you're pretty much physically fit. It depends on what additives you're looking for to suit you. Fit-ish.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram @ The Project Thank You, and join us next time.